Today is the Feast of the Circumcision, also New Year's Day. And on behalf of Bishop Kelly, Bishop Carroll, Bishop Sante, the priests, the seminarians, brothers, and the sisters, I'd like to wish you a very holy and happy New Year. The epistle to be read today for the Feast of the Circumcision is taken from St. Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and the worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, take from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which being called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That the child should be circumcised, and his name was called Jesus. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows lived in the mid-1800s. He became a saint within the short period of 24 years. He was born at Assisi in 1838. He came from a very respectable family. In fact, his father worked for the government of Umbria. And because of this, St. Gabriel lived at court and was surrounded by worldly people and pleasures. He was very popular among the nobility, and as a student, he was the top of his class. For a time, he seemed to be allured and attracted by the empty beauty and the pomp of the world. And a great promising future lay before him. All of this was very tempting to him. But by the grace of the merciful God, he received a great grace to give it all up. He grew tired of the vanity of the world and desired only heavenly treasures. And so he decided to enter the Institute of the Clerks of the Passion of Jesus. And he chose for his name to be called Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows, so that he might always bear in mind Our Lady's joys and her sufferings. As a novice, he became known for his faithful observance of the rule. He came to be considered a pattern of perfect holiness, even for the older members of the community. Now, Gabriel desired to grow in perfection each day. And so to help him towards this goal, he made some resolutions. And the resolutions he made were simple ones that anyone can perform. For you see, as a religious, he did nothing extraordinary. He merely fulfilled his daily duties to the best of his ability and with as much love as he could. And so St. Gabriel wrote, I will fulfill exactly my ordinary duties. I will mortify myself in whatever should prove an obstacle to perfect obedience. I will not inquire after anything through mere curiosity. And I will not eat with too much eagerness, but rather with reserve, subjecting my appetite to reason. I will never excuse myself when I am blamed or corrected, much less put the blame upon others. I will not speak of the faults or failings of others. I will not judge ill of anyone. I will rejoice at the success of others. And I will close my heart against all sadness, and much more against anything like aversion or retaliation to anyone. And then to sum up all his resolutions, St. Gabriel wrote, Faithfulness in little things is the motto I will always follow in my efforts to reach holiness. And he concluded by writing, "In giving me my vocation, God has bestowed upon me one of his best graces. I will give to him the best that I have in return, the entire affection of my heart." And so it was, by being faithful to his daily duties, that is, by faithfulness in the little things, that Saint Gabriel became a great saint. It was in the year 1862, when he was only 24 years old, that consumed by the fire of charity, rather than by any disease, his soul flew to heaven. His feast is celebrated on February 27th. Now, in today's gospel, we read the short account of how our Lord was circumcised. According to the Jewish law, a male child was to be circumcised 8 days after their birth. And on this day, our Lord also received his name. For it was at the circumcision that a child was given his name. And thus, Our Lady and Saint Joseph called our Lord Jesus, because the angel Gabriel told Our Lady at the Annunciation that this was his name. Now, my dear faithful, today, as you know, is New Year's Day, but we also celebrate the Feast of the Circumcision. Our Lord, being God, was not, of course, subject to the Jewish law of circumcision. Yet, he willingly underwent a circumcision to show us that he became a man to suffer and to die for love of us. For it was on this day that he shed his most precious blood for the first time. Christ willingly accepted this suffering to show us that this was the reason for him to come into the world. He came into the world for one reason alone, to suffer and die that we might be saved, and so that he may gain our love. Now, the Church, in her wisdom, has made this feast a holy day of obligation, and it is by divine providence that this feast falls on New Year's Day. For you see, God desires that we might be inspired to keep our resolutions by giving the example of his Son. And thus, by seeing his Son in the circumcision, fulfilling the very purpose of his coming, even from his infancy, to spill his blood, to die for us, and to gain our love. And since today is New Year's Day, I am sure many of you have made some resolutions for this new year. You have probably reflected upon this past year and thought about how you succeeded or failed during these last 12 months. Now, there's nothing wrong with this practice of making New Year's resolutions. In fact, it can be a very good practice. But in making New Year's resolutions, most people consider only this life. Few people think about their spiritual life. And too often we make resolutions that are meaningless. They have nothing to do with our final salvation, which, after all, is the only thing that really matters. St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows made some simple resolutions as a religious. And these resolutions were the cause of him becoming a saint. His motto was the same as St. Therese of the Little Flower. It was her little way. St. Gabriel said, "Faithfulness in little things is the motto I will always follow in my efforts to reach holiness." And thus he resolved, as I read before, not to inquire after anything through mere curiosity. He said he did not want to make excuses for himself when he was blamed or corrected. And he also never wanted to speak the faults or the failings of others. He did not want to judge or think ill of anyone else. He wanted to rejoice when others succeeded. And he wanted to close his heart against all sadness. He wanted to be joyful. And he wanted to free himself from anything that was uncharitable or had any sign of revenge or to get even with someone else. Now, these resolutions are neither extraordinary nor heroic. St. Gabriel did not propose severe austerities or some great deed to attempt to do for God. His simple resolutions all point just to one thing: to control self. For self-control is the mightiest of all conquests and the noblest of heroism. It is, in fact, the essence of all holiness. And so, my dear faithful, I encourage you to make some resolutions to increase your spiritual life during this coming year. Just pick one or two and work on them day to day and week to week. Some special virtue you need to work on. Some vice you need to overcome. And also resolve to be more faithful and devout in saying your daily prayers, especially the rosary. Resolve to attend an extra Mass during the week. Make the sacrifices that are required to attend Mass more often, especially on the first Friday and first Saturday devotions. No matter what difficulties you may have, they can't be so great as to make it impossible for you to be here before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament more often. Just remember that our Lord became a baby to get closer to you. And he joyfully accepted every suffering in order to win our love. And so we must do the same. We must draw nearer to him by coming to adore him more often and receive him as often as possible in Holy Communion. Once you have made your resolutions, then resolve to keep them and practice them often. And to help you to keep them and be sure you are faithful to them, examine yourself every Sunday. Just think back that in the past week of how you have fulfilled your resolutions. And start today to show our Lord that you really love him. Offer him this entire year with all its successes, trials, and failures, and whatever may come our way. Promise to accept all that he wills for you and ask him for the grace to advance in the way of holiness. Do we really love our Savior, who began to shed his precious blood for love of us when he was only 8 days old? Do we really love him? If we do, we will make good and holy resolutions, the ones that will help us to attain eternal life. A good way to do that is for signing up this week for an hour of adoration before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Start now. Our Lord has done so much for us. Let us do something for him. As St. Gabriel said, "In giving me my vocation, God has bestowed upon me one of his best graces." We can similarly say, "In giving me my faith and becoming a man to save me, God has bestowed upon me one of the best graces." And let us, with St. Gabriel of Our Lady of Sorrows, say, "And I will give to him the best that I have in return, the entire affection of my heart." God bless you, and may you have a holy and happy new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.